Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today, Rick continues teaching a series called Connecting with God, the Lord's Prayer. In these lessons, Rick shows you what it means to truly be spiritually connected to God and to each other through the power of God's love and God's Word. In just a little while, we're going to tell you how to get the Lord's Prayer Words of Hope and Happiness gift book. This life-giving resource will help you strengthen the hope of the children you love by introducing them to the Lord's Prayer. Go to PastorRick.com to find out more or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called The Prayer of Surrender.
Psalm 46:10, it's a very famous verse. Let go and know that I am God. I rule the nations. I rule the earth. God says, I'm in control, so you need to let go and know that I am God. Now, most of you know this verse as be still and know that I am God. The word be still, or that phrase, in the Hebrew literally means let go, calm down, relax, lighten up. That's what it literally means. It means to let go. Now, I don't know what you're going to face this next week. You don't either. But I already can tell you what God wants you to do. Let go and know. Let go and know. Let go and know. God says this is the first step to serenity in your life no matter what happens. You got to let go and know. Let go of control and know that I'm in control. That's the starting point. Let go of trying to figure it all out yourself and know that I can figure it all out. Let it go. You see, whenever we face out of control situations, things that are beyond our control, we always tend to go to one of two extremes. Some of you choose one and some of you choose the other. Some of you, when the more out of control your life gets, the harder you try to control it, the more controlling you become. In fact, the more insecure you feel, the more controlling you will become. The more frightened, the more worried, the more insecure you are, the more controlling the person you become. Secure people don't have to control situations. They relax. But when you feel stressed, when you feel pressured, when you feel worried, when you feel inadequate, then you double up your effort and you actually become more controlling. And you say, I will make this thing happen. I will make this marriage work. I will make this job work. And you redouble your effort. And you're not at peace at all. You're just tied tighter and tighter and tighter in a knot in your stomach. That's one extreme. The other extreme, some of you do the exact opposite. You just give up and you go into despair and you start to have a pity party. When everything's out of control in your life, you pull into your shell and turn on the TV and break out the chocolate bonbons. And you have a pity party and invite yourself to it. Everybody hates me. Nobody loves me. I'm going to go eat worms. And you become Mary Martyr. And some of you are very good at that role. You've perfected the role of Mary Martyr. And you've become a victim. And you do what I call swallow and wallow. You swallow all of your pain, and then you wallow in it. And you are miserable. Both of those reactions to stress are foolish. They don't work. Instead of swallow and wallow, instead of be a victim, or instead of become hyper-controlling and try to control everybody else when you can't even control your own life, instead you need to pray the prayer of surrender. Now the truth is, we don't like the word surrender. Because when we think of surrender, we think waving a white flag. I forfeit, I lose, I submit. But that's the very thing you need to do because it's out of your control. You see, the number one reason you're under stress is because you're in conflict with God. You're trying to do things that only God can do. You're trying to control things only God can control. You can't control your husband, your kids, or your wife, or your job, or your future, or your past, or any of that stuff. And the more you do it, you're trying to play God. And that puts you in opposition to God. And you're fighting with God. And in any conflict with God, you're going to lose. And not only are you going to lose, you're going to be tired, you're going to be wiped out, you're going to be fatigued, you're going to be emotionally drained. You need to pray the Lord's Prayer, the prayer of surrender. Now, a lot of people pray the Serenity Prayer, which is really based off of this. But millions of people pray the Serenity Prayer. But most people have never read the entire prayer. They only know the first three parts. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And that has been put on plaques and walls and bumper stickers all over the world. But that's not the whole prayer. Most people don't know that there are 8 more lines to the prayer. And the power of the Serenity Prayer is not in the first part. Give me the wisdom to know the things I can change and the things I can't change, and to change what I can and not worry about the rest. That's not the power of the prayer. The power of the prayer is the entire prayer. So today I printed the whole thing there on your outline. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Now, here's the part that most people don't ever know about. Living one day at a time, Jesus taught that, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy, you're never going to be completely happy, in this life, and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. Doesn't the rest of the prayer make a lot of sense? Yeah, that's the part nobody ever knows about. It's the part that says, I'm going to accept what I can't change. I'm going to take it like Jesus did, the sinful world, not as I would have it, but as it is, trusting you to make it all right. I'm going to surrender to your will. That's where all the power is. Now, the Bible says this in Romans 8:6. If a person's thinking is controlled by his sinful self, there is death. But if his thinking is controlled by the Spirit, then there is life and peace. Step one is letting go of control. The second thing it means to surrender to Jesus means learning to be content. Learning to be content. And this is the second key to inner peace. So that no matter what happens in your life this week that you cannot control, accepting what cannot be changed and learning to be content is a key. Now, as the Serenity Prayer pointed out, anything you can change, go right ahead. Go ahead and try to change all the things you can. But what about the stuff you can't change in your life that is a constant stress on you? That situation that's just never going to change. What do you do with that? Well, let's talk about some of the alternatives. We can worry about it. Does that work? No. We can resent it and get bitter about it. Does that work? No. We can feel guilty about it or ashamed of it or regret it. That doesn't work. We can have self-pity about it. That doesn't work. We can be fearful and worry about it. That doesn't work. There is only one thing that works in the situations that you can't change. Acceptance. Learning to be content. Now, Paul understood this. Notice what he says here in Philippians chapter 4. He says, I have learned to be satisfied, that's content, with the things that I have and with everything that happens. Notice everything that happens. I know how to live when I'm poor, and I know how to live when I have plenty, and I have learned the secret of being happy, being contented, at any time in everything that happens. I can do all things through Christ because He gives me strength.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so glad you're with us today. Rick will be back in a moment, but first, recently, Pastor Rick had our graphic designers create a beautiful frameable version of the Lord's Prayer that you can download for free right now by visiting PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Perhaps the most important role you can play in the life of a child is teaching them to trust God through prayer. It's the key to living with hope. Jesus said we should always pray and never give up. That's why it's important to strengthen the hope of children by introducing them to Jesus' model for prayer at an early age. And we're excited to tell you about a very special resource to help you do just that. It's called The Lord's Prayer, Words of Hope and Happiness. This book brings the poetic scripture of the King James Version of the Bible to life. Readers young and old will enjoy thoughtful insights from New York Times bestselling author Pastor Rick Warren and stunning illustrations by award-winning artist Richard Jesse Watson. It's sure to become a meaningful bedtime ritual, a treasured memory, and a lasting legacy that bears good fruit for generations to come. This wonderful book is a perfect way to share the beauty and richness of the Lord's Prayer with the children the Lord has placed in your life. And we'll send it to you to say thanks when you give a gift to Daily Hope. Your gift will be used to help take the good news of Jesus Christ to people everywhere. Just call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com. Thanks so very much.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
There is only one thing that works in the situations that you can't change. Acceptance. Learning to be content. Now, Paul understood this. Notice what he says here in Philippians chapter 4. He says, I have learned to be satisfied, that's content, with the things that I have and with everything that happens. Notice everything that happens. I know how to live when I'm poor, and I know how to live when I have plenty, and I have learned the secret of being happy, being contented at any time in everything that happens. I can do all things through Christ because He gives me strength. Now, when Paul wrote this, he was not down at the Montage Hotel. He was in prison in Rome. And when he's writing, I have learned to be content in all situations, he is chained to a Roman soldier in a damp, dank, dark prison. So he knows what he's talking about. He says, I know how to be up, I know how to be down. Plenty or not. I know how to go through a recession. I know how to go through good times. I've learned to be content. Now, I want you to notice three things. First, circle the word learned, because contentment is a learned experience. By nature, you are not a contented person. By nature, I'm not naturally content. It's something I have to learn. It's a mark of maturity. It's emotional maturity to learn contentment. Immature people are never content with anything. They're always discontent. They're always upset. They have not learned how to be content. That's a mark of emotional and spiritual maturity. So you have to learn it. It is a choice. And the other thing I want to point out is it is only possible through Christ's strength. Christ gives me the strength to be contented. Now, one of the problems that we have with contentment is because we're always looking for explanations in our lives of why things happen. And God doesn't tell us why most of the things happen in our lives. And that just ticks us off. Why not, God? Why not tell me why? Why doesn't God tell me why everything happens in my life? Because He's testing you. He's testing you to see, will you let go of control and will you learn to be content, whether He explains it or not? God doesn't owe you an explanation for anything. He doesn't owe you an explanation. And number two, you probably wouldn't understand it even if he gave it. Because he'd have to go back and say, well, you know, back in 1874, this started happening here. And what's going to happen in 2052? And this is all part of a plan. You wouldn't get it. You probably wouldn't understand it. But even if you did get an explanation, it still wouldn't take away the pain. I mean, if I'm in pain and I go to a doctor and I say, Doc, I'm feeling bad. I got this pain right here. And then he comes in and he takes these pictures. And then he says, well, you know, the neck bone connected to the, you know, ankle bone. And he explains it all out and draws it all out. Thank you, $50. And I walk out. It's still painful. No explanation ever takes away your pain. So I don't know why you're spending so much time looking for why the things happen in your life. Most things, you're not going to know why they happen until you get on the other side of death and you get into heaven, and then you're going to go, oh, now I see it. Okay, of course. Yeah, right. God, you're pretty smart. The point is, God isn't going to give you an explanation. Now, I remember when I was a little kid that the only time our classroom in school was quiet was during a test. Because the teacher would say, children, no talking. No talking. Take your pencils, fill out your test, and even the teacher would be quiet. It would be totally silent. The teacher is silent when the test is being given. Here's the point. When God is silent in your life, you're going through a test. When you don't hear God, and you can't hear him, I don't even know. God feels like a million miles away right now. And I can't get any answers. And I'm not hearing anything. This is a test. The teacher is always silent when you're going through a test. And when God is silent in your life, you are being tested. Your faith's being tested. Will I let go of control? Or will I grab on more tightly? Will I learn to be content? You see, what you need when you're going through the pain you're going to go through this next week or this next month or this next year, you don't really need God's explanation. You need God's presence. You need God's presence in your life. You need God's love in your life. And the Bible says this, surrender yourself to the Lord and wait patiently for him. That's what you need to do. That's learning to be content. By the way, let me just ask you a question. What are you angry with God about, but you don't want to admit it? You know, you just kind of hold on. You're really ticked off at God. You got a grudge against him, but you don't really want to admit it. But it's there, and it keeps you from being close to God. What are you angry with God about? Maybe you're angry with God about the way he made you. You're angry with God about your appearance. Why did you make me look like this? God, I could have done a better job than this. Why did you give me the parents you gave me? I'll tell you why he gave you the parents he gave you, because they had just the right DNA to create you, and he was more interested in you than how good a parent they were. You wouldn't have been made if it had been any other two parents. Maybe you're angry with God because you're disappointed in your marriage. I saved myself for this. Boy, that is nervous laughter I'm hearing. You're angry with God because you're single. You're angry with God because your business failed. You're angry with God because your kids aren't turning out the way you wanted them to turn out. You're angry because the neighbor's lawn is greener than yours. You have an unfulfilled dream. Friend, you just need to realize all you're doing is hurting yourself, and your discontent is robbing you of inner peace. If you want serenity in the storm, and we're getting ready to go through a major storm, then you've got to surrender, and you've got to learn to be content. Number three, Surrendering to Jesus not only means letting go of control of the stuff I can't control anyway, and learning to be content of the stuff I don't understand, surrendering to Jesus means laying down my plans. Laying down my plans. I don't know if you've noticed it, but I've sure noticed it, that my plans get changed a lot. I make all these great plans, and then they just get changed. I find that my problems frequently sabotage my plans. My problems detour my plans. And I got all these great plans that I want to do, and then all these problems come up. How inconvenient is that? You see, IAS is a reality of life. It's a theological truth. IAS is a fact of life. You say, what's IAS? It's always something. It's not in the Bible, but it's true. It's always something. IAS. It's always something. And you have plans, but you also have problems. And the problems are like all these planes that want to land in your life. And there's like a line of 50 of these planes waiting to land. And once you get problem number one landed and taken care of, problem number two moves up to first place. And problem number three moves into second place. And once you get problem number two landed, number three becomes number one, and number four becomes number two, and number five becomes number three. And that's called life. And the rest of your life, you're going to be landing planes. You're either in a problem right now, or you just got out of one, or you're getting ready to go into a new one. That's called life. And so you have to lay down your plans, because problems aren't always going to, cooperate with your plans.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so glad you're with us today. Recently, Pastor Rick had our graphic designers create a beautiful frameable version of the Lord's Prayer that you can download for free right now by visiting PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. Rick will be back in a moment, but first, perhaps the most important role you can play in the life of a child is teaching them to trust God through prayer. It's the key to living with hope. Jesus said we should always pray and never give up. That's why it's so important to strengthen the hope of children by introducing them to Jesus' model for prayer at an early age. With this in mind, we're excited to tell you about a very special resource to help you do just that. It's called The Lord's Prayer, Words of Hope and Happiness. This book brings the poetic scripture of the King James Version of the Bible to life. Readers young and old will enjoy thoughtful insights from New York Times bestselling author, Pastor Rick Warren, and stunning illustrations by award-winning artist, Richard Jesse Watson. It's sure to become a meaningful bedtime ritual, a treasured memory, and a lasting legacy that bears good fruit for generations to come. The Lord's Prayer, Words of Hope and Happiness, is the perfect way to share the beauty and richness of the Lord's Prayer with the children the Lord has placed in your life, and we'll send it to you when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help take the good news to people everywhere. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Once again, here's Rick.
If you've been blessed by this message today, here's what I want you to do. Share it. Tell somebody about it. Now, there's a lot of great ways you can share Daily Hope. One of the easiest is by posting it on social media, on Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn or Instagram. But you'll find a share button today next to the message on my website, PastorRick.com. Don't keep the good news to yourself. It's too good to keep to ourselves. We've got to pass it on to others. Thanks for listening today, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.